B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Because I would definitely go Odell over Jalen Ramsey. I want to make sure that my weapon that I've already invested a lot of money in, and that might sound contradictory, but I think if I've invested $107.9 million in Carson Wentz guaranteed, and I could get him a wide receiver that I know he could have success with, who's also the most talented in the game, one of the most talented in the game, and I think would have the best quarterback that he's ever had in his career throw him passes, I'm not saying the guy would be a Boy Scout. There'd be a lot of drama, sure. But he would also provide a lot of touchdowns, a lot of yards down the field as well.
At some point, you're going to have to invest on the defensive side of the
ball.
You're going to have to invest on the defensive side of the ball at some point.
Yeah, no, you're right. I just don't know if that investment is Jalen Ramsey.
I think he definitely shores up that secondary, though.
Who do you think? Well, you'd get Jalen Ramsey for cheaper? Probably?
No, you're not going to get him for cheaper.
No? Then Odell Beckham Jr.?
He'd probably be a little bit lower.
What are we costing? What are we costing here?
I mean, what's it going to take to get Odell?
At least a one and a three.
Five first rounds?
What they gave. No. Well, you consider they're going to want to try to make back what they gave up. They're going to try to get back what they gave up. But we'll talk to Adam Schefter about it in a minute. But you know what? Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast, we got to tell you how you can win up to $10,000.
97.5 The Fanatic. Big Green giveaway.
Presented by the new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download in the App Store or click on parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ladies and gentlemen, the keyword today for this hour, dollar. Dollar. Keyword dollar on the, enter the keyword dollar on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting dollar to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you'll win $1,000. Everyone that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 975thefanatic.com. Enter the keyword dollar on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting dollar to 45911 by 8:15 this morning. Our Fanatic 5K Day Big Green giveaway is presented by the all new Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Good luck. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And we are going to be joined by Adam Schefter. And he is brought to us by the Minimally Invasive Spine Institute at Rothman Orthopedics. Minimally invasive, maximally effective. Visit rothmanspine.com. Curious. Well, we'll see where this goes. Bob, I think you're on the right track when it comes to the reaction. When it comes to how he'll interpret a little story coming out of Miami about a sports radio host down there saying that the Eagles have at least kicked the tires on Odell Beckham Jr. possibly being made available by the Cleveland Browns. But without further ado, from ESPN, Adam Schefter joins us. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, gentlemen. Before we get to the Odell Beckham and NFL trade rumors, I have some big news to break here. I had the NBA draft lottery this past Sunday for the ESPN War Room League, 12-team basketball league for the fantasy draft a week from Sunday, and drew the 12th spot.
What?
So, so you lose that on, you know, Greek and Harden and Giannis and Curry.
Yes.
But I'm sitting there in a spot where I know I'm going to be looking at Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And so I got to ask Bob, at 12, would he trust his season to any of those guys?
If Embiid is still there, I would absolutely go that route.
What about the load management on him this year?
No, it's okay. You'll be able to overcome it. He'll play between, I'll say, 65 and 70 games, obviously barring injury. But because of load management, Shefty, I think he's between 65 and 70. Shooting percentage is over Simmons.
Hold on. The numbers will be off the charts. I know that. Right there, 65 to 70 means that he's going to be off 15 to 17 games, correct?
Yeah.
I can't have that.
Yeah. Shefty, I got to tell you, I think Bob's trying to swindle you here a little bit. I don't know if you heard, Ben Simmons is now a three-point shooter, so I would take him.
Yeah. I saw that. You know, with his field goal percentage from threes, I might consider Simmons now.
See?
Well, Shefty, when does your season end? Do you guys go all season long?
We go till April 1st. It ends there. Like, the championship round ends then. And what I could do at 12 and 13 is... it's nine categories for people who haven't played. Like, there's nine categories: points,
right,
assists, rebounds, assist turnover ratio, field goal percentage, free throw percentage, three pointers. What I could do is I could go Ben Simmons and Andre Drummond and punt on free throws. But
yeah,
I don't like
that's not a bad strategy.
But I don't like punting on anything.
You know, yeah, but like, do you stay in the middle of the pack or do you assure yourself of winning something? Yeah, it's a tricky fantasy basketball.
Simmons is going to rack up a lot of numbers and Drummond's going to rack up a lot of numbers, right?
Yeah, yeah. Drummond will get you 15, 18 rebounds a night.
Yeah, he puts away that category by himself. But yeah. He loses three throw percentage by himself for you. So
right.
Now it's net gain. So I you know, this is honestly, I'm consumed with this. You know, who cares about trading for Odell Beckham Jr. and
I'm with you. I'm out.
Taking over the NFC East. You know, this is who do I take at 12-13? Let's get down.
Damn right. Let's actually keep this going for a minute here. No, in all seriousness, Adam, I do want to keep the conversation going with NBA Adam for a minute if we can.
Yes.
Because Ben Simmons did knock down that three yesterday. How'd it make you feel?
Like a kid all over again. Like it was just like the joy and the happiness that it brought to so many people. And by the way, it was like, it was a clean swish. Like,
yeah.
It's
yes.
Nothing but the bottom of the net. Forget about nothing but the bottom of the net. It was tremendous.
Yeah,
Great job.
We all felt like children. We raised our arms in jubilation, let me tell you. Now, just shifted to NBA, or excuse me, to NFL Adam Schefter, or as we call him, Adam Schefter.
If we have to.
There is this report coming out of Miami, I believe it is, where there's a report. The man's name is Dan.
Hold on.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be disparaging. Let's call it sports talk radio speculation out of Miami. I mean, that's what it is, right?
He is stating the Eagles have called on the availability of Odell Beckham Jr. So he's not speculating. He's stating it as a fact.
That okay,
he's saying
report,
it happened. Yeah. So I understand what you're saying, making the difference between the two. But that's what he's saying. Have you heard anything, Adam Schefter, about the Eagles kicking the old tires on Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm not going to say it's not true, but I've not heard that at all. Okay, now, look, anybody could call anybody on anybody at this time of
sure.
the year. So, I mean, if somebody called the Eagles called the Giants on Saquon Barkley, like, is that, you know, I mean, you know, the Giants aren't going to trade Saquon Barkley. And I haven't heard through anybody that the Cleveland Browns are trading Odell Beckham Jr. I just haven't heard that. Now, maybe they have acquired him from the Giants. And over the course of the last 6-7 months, seen enough to say, okay, we're going to listen to offers. I find that a little hard to believe personally. I don't see that happening, but I would never rule out anything in the NFL. I don't imagine that to be true, but I never like to question another reporter ever because they wouldn't just be putting out things. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how people do and don't judge their sources, where they're getting their information, how to treat it, how to word it. I mean, there's a lot that
sure.
goes into it. It's not rocket science, but again, I never would dismiss anything ever in this day and age because anything is always possible, but that one would surprise me.
All right, there's another name that's been out there because, and this guy just flat out said more or less that he wouldn't mind being traded. Stephon Diggs, who the Eagles actually play this weekend. Is anyone calling and making offers regarding Stephon Diggs, and are the Eagles included in that?
I can tell you this. I don't know whether the Eagles have or haven't called. My guess is, knowing the way they are, they have. And by the way, that would apply to the Odell Beckham Jr. thing as well. The Eagles call and are as aggressive as they can be on anybody that they think is available. So if Stephon Diggs is out there, I'm sure that the Eagles did call. I do know that multiple teams called, about 10 teams roughly. So if a third of the league has called, wouldn't you think that the Eagles in the spot they're in would have been one of them? I would guess they would have been. I don't know that, but I would guess yes. And right now, the Vikings have told teams, no, we're not trading him. We're not interested in trading him. And I don't expect that they will trade him. But I always leave open that little crack in the window. And what's interesting is, in this time of the year, and I don't know how it is in basketball, Bob, maybe you could tell me if it's the same, but there's a little arc to these stories, right? It starts out as, oh, team has received calls on player. Team's not interested in trading player. Team now will at least listen on player. And then in the end, often, team does trade player.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but I've seen it happen that way enough to know that this is following a trajectory on Stephon Diggs that I've seen over the years. Okay? Player wants out. Team not interested. And then you'll start to hear more and more as the October 29th trade deadline comes closer. And we'll see if it does go down this way. Oh, the Vikings have spoken to Team X about a potential Stephon Diggs trade. And again, my belief and guess today would be that they don't trade him. But I don't rule it out, and I don't rule it out if another team comes at them strong enough with an offer they couldn't refuse. Like last year, Golden Tate. Lions aren't trading him. Not trading him. Not interested in trading him. Okay. They lose a couple more games. Well, maybe we'll listen. Oh, they're talking to the Eagles. Oh, Golden Tate is traded right at the deadline. Like, I mean, that's how it went down. Now, let's see how the Vikings perform the next couple of weeks. Like, the Eagles might be able to help their chances of landing Stephon Diggs if they're so interested and so inclined by beating the Vikings on Sunday and beating them soundly. So something like that might actually enhance the chances that they could wind up with Diggs if that's what they want to do.
Well, Shefty, the whole reason we're talking wide receiver here, obviously, is because of the injury to DeSean Jackson. And it's kind of been up in the air. Sports hernia isn't a term that's used anymore. A tear in the abdomen, whatever it may be. Do you have any insight of what it is, maybe how long it will be, and where we are on that?
Yeah, I think it was a sports hernia. I think that surgery was recommended and he decided not to do it, if I remember correctly, or surgery was discussed and he decided not to do it. He didn't have the surgery, right?
No surgery.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I remember being told, it was interesting, I remember being told that it would be about a month, and it's been three games so far?
Four
games now.
Okay.
He only played the first game of the season.
All right.
Right. Okay, I was told it would be about a month, and then when I spoke to somebody else, they're like, a couple of weeks. And so there were differing opinions depending on who you spoke to, but I could tell the first one was the right one. And I thought it would be, from the time he suffered the injury, about a month. And that's what it has been so far. And my guess is that he'll be back soon. I don't know that it's this week, but he'll be back. Maybe it will be this week. Maybe it'll be next week. But it's that kind of injury, and he'll be back. And when he does come back, they'll be stronger for it. And I think that they're in a spot here, having won their last couple of games against Green Bay, and then this past week where they blew out that team, I think that they'll be in a spot where, once again, at the trade deadline, they'll be buyers.
And who do you know as any wide receivers that are out there? I asked you about Stephon Diggs, but Emmanuel Sanders' name's been mentioned, some others around the league. Are these just kicking tires right now, and it's going to get more serious as we get closer, I assume?
I would say that with wide receiver, Emmanuel Sanders is a good name to watch. Now, the Broncos have told me we're not interested in dealing him, that we're not going to move him. And they told me that last week, before they beat Jacksonville. But again, I'll go back to my trade trajectory chart and just say that, I'll believe that Emmanuel Sanders isn't traded later on when he's still there after the trade deadline, if that is indeed the case. Now, I'm not telling he is. I'm just telling you that I think his name is going to come increasingly into play, and we'll see whether somebody would offer. And I think the market on him, and maybe I'm wrong, would be similar to what the Eagles gave up last year for Golden Tate. They gave up a 3. And Emmanuel Sanders has come back from that Achilles injury and is a very productive receiver, by and large. And maybe he's not a 3. I'd have to check his age compared to Tate's age last year. But they've produced at a similar level. And so I would think that Emmanuel Sanders would be a 3 or 4 if Denver were willing to trade him.
And finally, Adam, we're talking in trades here, and we're talking with you, so we're obligated through the fan base of Philadelphia to ask you about Jalen Ramsey.
Yep,
so any updates?
That one is not going to happen.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Not right now. No, and that one, I predict, will not happen by the trade deadline either.
All right, okay. So this crystal ball still is telling you the same thing as it was last week.
But I'm happy to discuss Jalen Ramsey every week up until the trade deadline. I will let you know if the temperature on that changes.
To hell with that. 12th pick, fantasy draft. Let's go back to it.
Okay, let's get back to that 1 second before you let me go.
Yes.
Bob, at 12, who would you draft? Here's the players I'm considering. Ready? I'll give you a group of guys that I think are going to be there at 12.
All right.
Okay. Bradley Beal, Drew Holiday, Ben Simmons, Luka Doncic, Andre Drummond, even Paul George, who might miss the first month of the season. That's the group of guys I believe I'll be looking at 12.
And
maybe even after a strong game last night, DeAndre Ayton, which would seem early, but the guy may be a monster this year.
So, and you, do you think Embiid will be available there?
I think 50-50, but I will say this. I love him as a player. I will not draft a guy that is going to be rested 15. Like, that's just going to kill me when I need...
But if your season ends April 1st, they very well could rest him 4 or 5 games after your season is already over.
Yeah, it's tough to predict that. Like,
yeah, it is. All right. Out of the group that you gave me, though, I would go Doncic.
Okay, that's what I think, too, by the way. But
look at that, great minds.
He's going to kill me in free throws, I think.
Well, then, yeah, back him up with a Drummond or something like that and throw away a category.
Well, then, okay, well, then we'll give you better off with Simmons and Doncic. And then, and then get rid of, like, do we think that Ben's going to have a big year or not?
Yeah, Ben's going to be an 18-8-8 guy again.
Right, but his shooting's no good.
Shooting percentage will be bad. Free throw percentage will be horrible.
Yeah, that kind of stuff drives me nuts.
Yes, it does. I'd rather have a guy that's even across the board.
Yeah, and the other guy that you put in that category, Trae Young, but I guess it's going to be...
Trae Young's an interesting guy. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah. Adam, always great talking to you. I look forward to talking some hoops with you next week, as well as, Jalen Ramsey.
Listen, two things you just get me going. The NFL trade deadline and the 12th and 13th picks.
Don't I know it. Adam Schefter, always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Schefter. Right, Adam Schefter, ESPN. Time with Fanatic 816.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
So, Shefty, who's he going to take with the 12th pick in his draft? I still don't know, Bob.
I think he's going to go Ben Simmons.
I know what is not going to happen. We had a wet blanket put on our Odell Beckham hopes and dreams. Now, Trey, you were with me. Then you want Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, yeah.
If it came down to
if we could get him, I'd take him.
You'd want him.
I like Ramsey, too.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not necessarily one or the other. He does appear to have dug his heels in, dug his spikes in when it comes to whether or not Jalen Ramsey is going to be traded. And according to Adam Schefter, Jalen Ramsey is not going to be traded. If he had to look into his crystal ball yet again, like he did for us last week, Jalen Ramsey's not getting traded this year.
Yeah.
Anything can change, whatever. We'll see what offers are out there on the table come deadline time in a couple of weeks now. But as of right now, Jalen Ramsey's not being traded.
I'd be stunned if a franchise could just sit there and do nothing.
It's almost impressive.
Almost impressive, yeah. But when push comes to shove, who's really winning? I mean, Jalen Ramsey's getting paid.
Yeah.
He's not getting his body hurt. He's got plenty more years of football left in him. What's Jacksonville doing except letting him do what he wants and paying him?
Exactly.
I don't see how they're winning this battle.
To me, it just doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense. 610-632-0975. Wide open board for you. If you want to get in, now's a good time for you. 610-632-0975. And also welcome back to the people watching on Twitch.tv. Trey, you got your Flyers sweater on.
That's right. People can
see you all fired up for tonight's home opener.
I'm doing my job. I'm doing my thing. You know, I told the people that the jersey will be worn again. Right now, the jersey is 1-0.
You are their good luck charm.
Hey, maybe.
Home opener.
That's what you got tonight. The Zamboners are all out tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be down there.
Oh.
I'll be testing the gritty the Gritty Command Center, as well as the Rage Room.
Yeah, the Rage Room's interesting.
Yeah, the Rage Room seems pretty cool.
I definitely want to break some stuff.
I'm going to be in there, just like my good friend Katie Nolan was in there. I don't know if you saw that video.
Love her.
I know. That was why. We've met, no big deal. She broke some stuff yesterday.
I kind of saw stuff they have. Is it fake TVs and stuff in there?
It's very fitting for the Flyers. Just,
yeah.
Champagne glasses,
pound away with a hockey
TVs,
stick,
a mirror,
a bat, a sledgehammer, a hockey stick, I believe. You could just go at the TV. You could go at the glasses, the wine glasses, the whiskey glasses, and just go after, break all kinds of stuff. Hmm. And I also saw the Gritty Command Center. I'm getting gritty later today.
Are you going to get the orange bottle in the face?
Yeah, I believe I'm getting the full gritty. I think that's happening. I'm excited. I'm excited. Not as excited as I was last night when Ben Simmons hit
the Rage Room is something Flyers fans have wanted for years.
Flyers fans are like telling the Flyers, oh, you guys just got one of these? I have this at my house.
I've been breaking stuff in my section for years because the product sucked.
It's called my living room. Yeah, that's how I break stuff there. But now you're paying for it? Cool. So I'll check that out. But in all seriousness, last night Twitter erupted with Ben Simmons hitting his first ever professional three-pointer. Everyone was excited about it, except the people that just don't want to enjoy fine moments like that.
Bob and Brett, mostly.
No, but I will say this.
I enjoyed it. It's great.
Did you hear the poo-pooing?
Uh-huh.
I hear the poo-pooing. There's a lot of poo-pooing.
It was cool. That's cool.
But in all honesty, of all things you could take out of a win against the Guangzhou Long Lions, that was probably the biggest thing you could take out of this game because it had to do with one individual doing something we hadn't seen him do in a game setting yet. Even Matisse Thybulle, who we both were impressed with, right? It looked good, right? A svelte Joel Embiid looked svelte, you know?
9 for 9 from the foul line.
But yeah, and what one guy did something we hadn't seen him do in a professional setting yet, which was attempt and hit a legitimate three-pointer. Not a heave at a buzzer beater or anything like that, but spotted up, wanted the ball, and he hit the three. And the place went bonkers. You know what, Jamie? Can we get the TV call first? Because this is how people went nuts yesterday watching Ben Simmons. First off, they were caught. Bob, you were down there.
Yeah.
They were calling for Ben Simmons to shoot throughout the first half. Whenever he got the ball in his hand, they want to shoot! Like he was on the power play in hockey. They wanted him to shoot the basketball. And he finally did it. And here's the magic moment. They want him to shoot it.
Big hug. That is
you hear the people. That's Serena Williams. Serena Winters with the call last night. Mark Zumoff.
Definitely not Serena Williams.
Maybe Miss Cousy. Serena Winters made the call last night. Mark Zumoff had the night off. And I felt that's on NBC Sports Philadelphia. So that was the call last night. Right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, Tom McGinnis was more subdued. Mm-hmm. He just kind of called it and that happened.
We got action here at the center.
That was not an action.
For Pete's sake.
Jamie, you know, while we have it, why don't we just play it for people? Here is Tom McGinnis' call.
Man, that's irritating.
not his drop list. The call last night of Ben Simmons hitting the three.
Fans want Simmons to shoot a three, and he makes it. Ben Simmons closes out the first half with a three-point shot, and that makes it 82-41. A standing ovation.
Yeah. Not exactly the Tom McGinnis.
Well, yeah, that was
that
a call.
We thought.
That was a call.
Solid sportsmanship.
That was, okay, a guard just hit a three before the buzzer sounded to put you up 60 at halftime in a preseason game.
Against the Guangzhou Long Lions.
Yeah.
But that's not how I reacted.
No.
That's not how the people in Philadelphia reacted.
No, they were on their feet.
They were going bonkers.
Yeah. I giggled.
Trey.
That's cute.
Trey, I don't know what the equivalent would have been for you. I don't know. But you see a teammate do something he hadn't done. He
possibly
finally does
scoring
it.
Scoring a touchdown?
I guess.
Yeah.
But even that seems more than a three.
I don't know.
From an NBA guard.
Yeah.
No.
That's the first three he's hit since 2015.
That's right. I haven't scored a touchdown since high school.
Oh, man.
Really?
Dude, what a drought.
It wasn't just a three. He was like 2 feet behind the three-pointer.
Oh, okay. So here
that's
is
his spot.
Here's his teammate. Well, first, let's hear from Brett Brown first. because Brett Brown was asked about it. I'm going to give it to you in full context here.
Real quick.
Our
friend Victoria wants to know if there's going to be a lot of babies born 9 months from now.
Absolutely.
It's like a Super Bowl baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Ben Simmons 3 baby.
Oh, yeah. A lot of boys. I'm feeling it, baby.
A lot of baby Benjamins popping up.
Oh, yeah. It's going down.
Yeah.
He made a 3. I need you to go stretch.
A lot of Ben's born. Bitch.
I need you to stretch.
Some calisthenics, you know.
3 goes down, blue chew goes in. Yeah. There you go. So that's what happened last night. And I went not.
Can't imagine what Mark's cousin was doing.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Bobby.
So,
I'm alone on this now, right?
Okay, sure. So Ben hits the 3. Twitter goes bonkers. You heard everyone there at the
Wells Fargo.
So you heard everyone there at the Wells Fargo Center going absolutely ape. You know what? So how did the head coach Brett Brown feel when he was asked about Ben Simmons knocking down his first professional 3 last night after the game?
Really nothing, you know. I mean, he made a shot, good, and that's kind of personally the extent of it for me. The whole thing is so overblown. I think in general, you know, it's so inflated, the attention. And that's what I think. And so I answer the question the way I did with you. And I answer the question again the same. He's young. We got a long season. I'm just not going to react over it. Like, and I really mean that. You made a 3.
Come was on, that man. Bob or Brett talking?
I think it was a wet blanket. I think a wet blanket was speaking. Why?
Come on.
Why?
Come on, man.
What?
Ben Simmons makes a 3, though. You got to be.
Nobody
steady.
Actually believes Brett.
No.
He's put on a good.
He made a 3. Ah!
Great poker face.
No, I believe him.
I believe
Brett Brown wholeheartedly.
Oh, I don't.
I
think he understands what the spacing will do for Ben Simmons.
Sure.
It's not like, he made a 3 and that's going to change. It's. Okay, things are coming together. I'm ecstatic now.
Then, see, here's the thing. I think Brett Brown would say that. Because I always say, I don't think Brett Brown can
He's
lie.
He's very truthful.
He
yeah.
is. I don't think he can lie. I don't think he is... I don't think he's purposely going over the top to nullify it. I think he is just nullifying it. I think that's how he feels
about
it.
I think he's happy and doesn't want to make it a big deal.
I think if he was pressed further... And he wouldn't allow it because he's like, I'm not going to react to
right.
it. So then the questions don't come up. But if pressed further, say, Brett, not so much the 3, but the fact that he, on the last second of a half, he pulled up for a jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Will that equate to better things for this offense if he's doing that from 12 to 15 feet more consistently? Then I think he would say, well, yes, that's what we're looking for. But for me to get excited over a 3 to be like, oh, this changes our whole offensive outlook. That's kind of where
right.
he's coming from.
Yeah, and that I get. But
right.
I mean, as a coach, Jamie, I think you do have the right take on it in terms of, and Bobby, get it, and Trey, like, it is a step forward for one of your best basketball players.
Yeah.
It's a step forward. Step of the right. Like, I'm surprised he didn't even work in anything along the lines of, well, you know, Ben's worked really hard, and I'm glad he could have that moment.
And here's another thing that I thought of. Did you see Ben Simmons' reaction? I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
Like, Simmons was kind of like, all right, guys, stop. He was kind of excited, but he was like, all right, stop. He didn't like the fact that, right, they're kind of making fun of me.
Uh-huh.
I hit a 3. I mean, I am an NBA guard. I should be able to do that.
Uh-huh.
So I think Brett might have read off of that. Like, if he'd have jumped up and down and waved his hand, maybe Brett was like, yeah, good for him, uh-huh. you know, and he feels great about it. But the fact that Simmons kept it low-key, I think that's played into Brett saying, okay.
Because he's got the Mr. Cool vibe.
Ben?
Yeah, Ben.
And so Brett's going to play off it.
You know Ben, but Ben himself was smiling when he made that. Inside.
Yes, yes
he's
he
not going to externally
so
show it.
You could see,
exactly.
You could see, I thought you could see a little smirk on his face.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Ben Simmons reacted exactly as you want Ben Simmons to react.
Yeah, like it's no big deal.
NBD.
This is what I do now.
NBD, man. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is what I do now.
Steph Curry, you want to have a shootout?
Okay, so you mentioned...
Jamie has him in the three-point contest.
Sources tell me he's considering the three-point contest this year, Mark.
So those guys, Bob, that you just alluded to, like, hey, guys, calm down, you know, hey, take a step back, that type of thing.
Modern-day Craig Hodges.
Those were his teammates getting all crazy. It wasn't just the people in the stands at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah.
It was the people as well.
I think they were more happy than the fans.
Okay. So let's talk to one of his teammates, and let's see how one of his teammates feel about this. Josh Richardson was asked about Ben Simmons knocking down his first professional three-pointer.
You know, I've only been up here practicing with the team for like 2 weeks, so... I mean, for us, it's not like a huge deal, because he's been making them like in practice like the last few weeks. You know, I've only been up here practicing with the team for like 2 weeks, so... I've been seeing it, but I mean, it was dope. And I was wondering why the crowd was like standing up and everything. And I was like, what's happening? And I looked at the situation and I looked at the clock and I was like, okay. And so I kind of like stood in the corner because I was like, I kind of did this with my hands, like, just shoot it if you want it, bro. Like, because nobody really wants to feel forced to do something. So I was like, if you want it, take it. He shot a deep one, too. It was like a couple steps behind the line. And I was like, it was great to see him make one of the game.
That's it.
He's lying.
What do you mean he's lying?
He's lying. Josh Richardson didn't know that Ben Simmons hasn't hit a three. Like, he said, oh, I didn't even know the situation. And then I found out that, oh, he doesn't really shoot threes. Really? You played against him.
Yeah.
You know the scouting report. Uh-huh. We saw you guys in a series
in the playoffs
with the Miami Heat play a defense that backed it all the way into the lane and let him roam free up top because you knew he couldn't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm nothing against Josh Richardson.
Right.
I'm kidding around, but
he definitely follows
house
highlights.
Don't come out and say, oh, I didn't even know. I thought it was just a situation. I didn't know why everybody was cheering
these
so
guys. These NBA players love social media. Don't be as like, Josh.
No, I will say this.
It was a valiant effort.
But Trey, like when I was listening to that, my thought went exactly where you guys went, and then I was like, okay, what if he didn't mean that? What if he just meant the time winding down situation?
Yeah.
Like, was unaware. Like, oh, yo, whoa, there's only a little bit of time. All right, you go jack that shot. You go pop that shot there, my friend. And Ben Simmons did, and the place went crazy.
But if you look at Richardson and Embiid on the court, as he's bringing it up, they're both, like, pointing to the clock and kind of, as he said, raising their hands in the air, like, go ahead, give it a shot. Like, you know, they knew full well what was going on.
No
and watch
question.
Embiid especially. He's like, what are you going to do? He literally is picking up his shoulders and putting out his hands, like, come on, man. Like, give it a shot. And then when he shoots it, he runs right over towards him, waiting for it, and has the reaction he does.
And then Joel Embiid walked off the court crying his eyes out because he was so happy for his
team. Yeah. Very emotional. It was a beautiful moment.
He had to sit the whole
second
half.
So he could cry on her shoulder.
Wait, what?
Waiting on his girl. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because he was crying on her shoulder really good.
Miss Anna DePaula.
James, is that thing? Is that a thing?
Yeah. Remember in the locker room hallways?
No. I'm saying, is it still happening? It's been a whole offseason.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so they're still very much together.
Aww.
She's been in Philly with Klaus DeProcess cheering on Joel when he was playing tennis the other
night. The
Golden Doodle, yeah.
That's beautiful.
He's a big boy now.
Did Kendall not like threes? Is that why he never attempted them?
Maybe.
She likes the inside.
She
game
said,
better?
"Ben, I'll be a freak for you, but only if you shoot from within 5 feet."
There you go.
That's
beautiful. See, best thing he's ever done.
So she was holding him back.
Yep.
She can make the toes curl.
Sweet God. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632.
He's got a new lady, I think.
I think that's the speculation is true. A beautiful blonde lady.
Ball.
Yeah, I've seen her in many Instagram posts now.
Wait, no. She dates a professional surfer. They're just friends.
Okay. That's all beautiful. Right. Good for them.
You've been saying
platonic.
That.
See, you know,
you're naive.
We were going with the deep, yeah, the deep ball. What is that? I mean,
no, it's platonic. Totally platonic.
She posts about him more than she posts about Ben.
Posts about who?
Her professional surfer boyfriend.
Well, that's just the perfect cover-up. No, I don't know.
Yeah,
you heard it. I'm not cheating. Look, I'm posting. Well, no, I don't. We don't know who he's dating. Whatever. And who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares on a day where he has a three?
As long as his queen encourages three. Shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as the deep ball.
As long as this girl's all about the mid-range game,
yeah.
And taking, and then, you know, maybe hitting it to them.
Reward them for the mid-range J.
Yes, in more ways than one, Ben, shoot your shot.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
610-632-0975. Coming up, there is a name that has come up, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, and I have, I believe, come up with the perfect analogy for this guy that could replace Gabe Kapler as the Phillies manager. We'll talk about that name in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Did you see in Los Angeles a UCLA Bruins fan
yeah,
put
this is
a
good.
Job posting for Chip Kelly.
A used coach.
They said used coach. You know, basically they're trying to sell him on Craigslist.
Yeah, sell him on Craigslist.
How cool is that?
Hey, look. It's a while ago
culture
now.
Culture is more important than scheme.
It's a while ago now.
Pretty straightforward, black and white.
And we won a Super Bowl, so yeah, I'm over the Chip Kelly thing, but that doesn't mean...
We always keep an eye on our former...
Doesn't mean I can't laugh.
I'm gonna follow Markelle Fultz this year.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
He dunked.
I don't know how you throw it down that hard with the injury that he has.
Well, he doesn't. It's gone now. He's fine.
But I've heard people be like, guys, it's possible not to talk about Markelle Fultz. And I'm like, why? I'm going to follow his career. Like, it's one of the most fascinating tales that ever came through Philly.
Number one overall pick 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm going to follow it, and guess what? I'm going to follow and root against Chip Kelly. That's what we do.
More so, he was the number one overall pick after all those years of being terrible.
Yeah.
So it's not just missing out on that pick being of service here in Philadelphia. It's also the idea that you spent so much time being terrible, and yeah, you got Joel Embiid, you got Ben Simmons, and they're no consolation prize. They're damn good players, right? They're MVP candidates, hopefully, especially now that Ben Simmons is a three-point shooter. And now you're looking at this other guy that you were supposed to get that was supposed to be the final piece, and certainly a guy you missed as at least the guy off the bench last year.
Yeah, I don't think it's weird to follow his career path.
Absolutely not.
It's not weird to follow Chip Kelly's career path.
There's a job posting on Craigslist.
That's awesome.
Come get a used coach. Real quick, the name that has surfaced again, and the first person I heard this from was Jason Stark. He was the first person to tell us Buck Showalter is a candidate to replace Gabe Kapler if they, in fact, do fire their manager this year. The Phillies end up firing their manager this offseason. We've been waiting for this for 2 weeks. We've been waiting for something to happen. So far, nothing has happened, only speculation. They fired their pitching coach, Chris Young, something we talked about yesterday, which makes you really scratch your head.
Chris Young's so long, you got to cut it down to CY.
I feel like I've wasted the whole show just saying his name.
I know.
So he's a guy they already have moved on from. They've already fired him. They're going to get another candidate in here. It seems weird that they would fire a pitching coach before they fire a manager. It seems like all the other coaches at this point are coming back, so it's not like whoever you bring in as a manager is going to be your next head coach. Whoever you bring in, is it going to just all of a sudden move on from an entire coaching staff if those are the guys you want to bring back? So it's just weird to not fire the manager, but you fire the pitching coach first.
Weird is a good word to describe all of this.
And the other thing is, if it really is taking 2 weeks to answer the question as to whether or not Gabe Kapler should be the manager of your baseball team, if you're John Middleton, if it's taking 2 weeks to answer that question, don't you already have your answer?
You would think.
Yeah, that he's going to keep Gabe Kapler.
No, I'm saying that if you have to spend 2 weeks before you make any announcement, even a subtle hint on social media from the Phillies' own Twitter account, looking forward to next year with all the with Gabe Kapler's picture and everybody else from the team, whatever it might be. I mean, if you have to spend this time asking these questions, I think you already know that he's not fit to be your manager. Yet the longer this goes, the more I do feel that this is going to be his return. Because I don't believe after this amount of time right now, that Klentak's going to be gone, that McPhail's going to be gone. If you're hearing the reports now and the rumblings, like from Jim Salisbury, Scott Lauber, who we talked to yesterday, if you're hearing the rumblings now that these guys are going to make their return, then it now makes me think that Gabe Kapler's going to make his return after John Middleton spent so much time talking to so many players.
Because
those are the guys that are going to save his job.
They're all
going
to be back.
So they're gonna
I can't
have
wait to see the reactions.
Oh. They're going to have a press conference. Middleton's going to say, all right, we have a new pitching coach, and his name is such and such. We have a new hitting coach because Charlie decided to go, and it's such and such. Questions?
And then
people are going to be like, what about Kapler? Yeah. What about him? He's our manager. What are you talking about? He's our manager. I've been searching the country for a hitting coach and a pitching coach. Uh-huh. Our manager's in place.
Yeah.
So what if he brings in a really good pitching coach and a really good hitting coach, like someone that's going?
They're not running the ship. They're not running the show. The guy that's running the show is the manager, and then the front office. And the front office isn't changing. The only thing the front office can do right now to make me feel a lot better about next year is go get starting pitching. Go get it.
Right.
So if they get starting pitching and you keep Charlie Manuel around,
and you keep who? Gabe Kapler as well.
Yeah. And then you get a better pitching coach,
and you bring up Bohm.
But what sucks is the philosophy, because I don't know how much of Reese, like Reese Hoskins not turning it on at the end of the season and actually turning it off at the end of the season, batting, you know, what, a sub 200 the second half of the year? Like, that's abysmal. I don't know how much of that is him either wearing down or being in his own head, and how much of that is what they're telling him they want him to do, which is launch angle and get on base. And on base percentage is great, but if you're going to be a cleanup hitter in baseball, you got to be driving in runs. You got to be getting on base yourself with hits driving in those runs, because you ain't doing it with walks.
Right.
Like, on base percentage is great when you're talking about one, two hole hitters. Maybe if you're a bottom of the order guy and you could get on base, like Cesar Hernandez for a bottom of the order guy gets on base pretty well. That's good. Hey, reset the lineup. Somebody get on base. Don't make that out. Get the pitcher up. Maybe you don't flip him over to the next inning. So that's good. But when it comes to the four hole spot, the cleanup hitter, and you're getting on base, the numbers we gave last week for Reese Hoskins, fifth most at bats with runners in scoring position, 60th in batting average with runners in scoring position. That's abysmal for a four-hole hitter. And of just four-hole hitters, that was like the 15th worst in baseball. It's embarrassing. So now they're going to look to Buck Showalter. That's the other hot name that's out there right now, more so than Socha, Girardi, Madden, all that. The name that's being thrown out right now is Buck Showalter. And the comparison I've made, as I teased before, was that he is the Jeff Fisher of MLB managers. Jeff Fisher was Mr. 8-8. You knew you might have a competitive season. Maybe one or two things might go right, and you get into the playoffs. Buck Showalter, in 20 years as an MLB manager, has three 90-plus win seasons. And this is the guy that's supposed to come in and turn things around? Now, I know the argument, and Jamie, you put it up
But Mark, he's great at turning around franchises and getting wins quickly.
God, you do that defense of Buck Showalter voice so well. I want to punch you. But, like, look.
But Mark, he took a 67-win Orioles team and made him a 92-win team the next year.
At the break, I am going to punch you. Like, you do it too well, my friend. But here's the deal. You have a guy like Buck Showalter, who I do think could come in here and be better than Gabe Tapper.
It's a good porn name.
If you're at...
Right? Like, that's kind of cool.
Let's say it again.
Buck Showalter.
Yeah. It's definitely a good point.
Yeah.
The criteria.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's cool. Check.
If you're asking me...
Does it look like stupid money to you?
All right, man.
Yeah.
John's like, well, Buck, people have their concerns. But on the other hand, it's a great porn name, so...
Mm. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.